57. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 46 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Miller.
It's time for the Miller's Edge with four-time SEC champion and two-time national champion Christian Miller.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
Here is college football playoff national champion Christian Miller on Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC.
And welcome into this Thursday edition of Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store. America's art support experts. Hope you guys are doing great this morning. I'll say we've got some good weather. Chase, I don't know if you've been outside much. I know you get up there real early, so it might have been a little bit different this morning, probably a little bit more cold. But you guys know I talk about it all the time, always with my dogs in the morning, walking, park, all that good stuff. Great weather, by the way. Not sure the temps, but it feels good. At least it's sunny outside. I got a slim kind of Lululemon little pullover type deal on. So, man, I'm feeling good and short. So, really good weather. That being said, hope you guys are doing great. Hope you guys are ready for a very, very interesting at least start to the show because, I mean, there's a lot of news we've got to cover. And I'm sure you guys have probably heard a lot about it. So, we'll dive into that. But before we do that, let me remind you about our good friends over at the Good Feet Store, America's art support experts. Again, make sure you guys check them out if you haven't already. Try before you buy. Nothing to lose. Head on over to their store right there in Midtown Village. Let them take care of you like they take care of me and all the other folks around the world that have finally gone over there and got these art supports. Again, premium art supports designed to eliminate and alleviate all types of pain in 4 short weeks. So go check them out. Go try them out. Again, it's completely free. They'll give you the whole deal. They had the foot massagers back when I used to go in there and get mine. Back in the day. So hopefully they still have that going so you can sit back and relax while they show you your impressions and let you try them, all that good stuff. But again, that is the Good Feet Store. You can't find them anywhere else. Go to their website, goodfeet.com. You can schedule an appointment, find the nearest location to you while you're at it. Again, that is the Good Feet Store. Improving the quality of people's lives 2 feet at a time, just like we try to do for you guys 2 hours at a time right here on the Miller's Edge. Real quick, want to say, if you guys missed yesterday's episode, man, make sure you guys go back and watch that. You can do that on our YouTube channel. All the episodes save right here. Or you can always, wherever you get your podcasts, right, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, you can always go back and listen there as well. And on Tide 100.9, there is an archive with all past episodes. I say that because, man, it was a fun one on the show. We had Nakai Hill Green, Alabama linebacker, join us. Got to give him some flowers, man. Again, you guys know me. We watch a lot of tape on this show. We always break it down. I do it by myself, but I love doing it with you guys as well. And I've been bragging about him for a minute now. I think he's very, I wouldn't say like underappreciated necessarily, like in a bad way, right? But you get what I'm saying. Like, I feel like he doesn't get the flowers he might deserve. But when you turn on the tape, man, I think he's playing just as good, if not better, than any of the backers that we have right now. And I'm telling you, that's what I told him yesterday. It might not show up on the stat sheet, right? But football people, we know this, right? Him closing and taking on those guards, those H-backs, blowing it up, as we saw on the clip from Oklahoma, for guys like Deontay Lawson and his teammates to make plays. Doesn't show up on the stat sheet, but it shows up for me when I turn on the tape. So I wanted to give him some recognition and all that. And had fun with him joining us on the show. Again, that was my first time really getting to chop it up with him. I know I've been up there, but I haven't formally met him. And it was great, man. He was awesome to talk to. So I wanted to say thank you again to him. And a shout out to him for joining us and giving us some time as they get back in it. I think they had workouts yesterday and they're kind of getting back in that rhythm now, getting ready to prep and all that good stuff. So go back and listen to that if you missed it. It was early on in the episode, early on in the show. Really good stuff. Then at the top of the hour, we spoke with Gray Robertson, my teammate and partner in crime over on the Crimson Tide Sports Network with the LLH post-game party show that we do for the Crimson Tide Sports Network every game day. So that was fun yesterday. And today, we're pretty much open. We don't have – Slade's not feeling well. Slade was going to jump on here, but he's not feeling too great right now. So we're pretty much open. So if you guys want to join in on the conversation, I know we've been loaded with guests and doing a lot of talking ourselves. Feel free. You've got plenty of time on today's show. 205-342-9904. We'll love to take your calls because there's a number of things going on. If you guys have seen the thumbnail, and let me just say this. Yes, it's a little bit of a clickbaity thumbnail. So before Alabama fans get mad, and if you, for our radio listeners, what a thumbnail is, it's like the preview graphic for the YouTube video, for the live stream. Well, what it is a picture of Kalen DeBoer in the Michigan logo, and the title reads, Alabama head coach Kalen DeBoer, a favorite to be the next Michigan coach? right? And the only reason, listen, clickbait just, you know, get, it's like the hook to get the listeners in here. Well, I'm just going to just jump ahead and say this. I don't see him leaving. I stand by what I was saying last time we dealt with these coaching rumors. But you got to draw a crowd. So that's what we're doing. But that's what we're going to talk about. Because there are, contrary to us, some people out there that do believe he will be a lead candidate for the opening. We'll dive into why there is an opening for the Michigan head coaching job. We'll talk about the reason for the vacancy. But we'll definitely talk about why people are linking head coach Kalen DeBoer to this job. And if we actually think that is a possibility, which I guess I kind of spoiled it. I don't necessarily think so, but I'll dive into why in some more details. But I would love to hear y'all's thoughts on this whole, I don't even know what you call this situation right now, because unfortunately it's definitely taken even more of a turn for the worse. But again, 205-342-9904. Love to get y'all's thoughts on that. Plus, you can always drop an at message. I told you guys, it goes straight to my email now. I'll check it, you know, frequently throughout the show. I'll make sure we stay up to date on that. So for all our listeners on the app, make sure you guys continue to work that at message. Plus, join us on the stream and you can drop all your questions, comments, and concerns in the comments section right here. We've had a very active chat as of recently, and it's been fun, man. Very cool watching you guys interact, and clearly I get to read everything you guys are talking about. So if you haven't checked us out on YouTube, make sure you do that. You can watch me do the show, watch any clips, any tape, all that stuff we put on the screen. Plus, it's completely free. All we do is ask. You just hit that like button, which takes literally 1 second, if that. Just click the like button, subscribe if you enjoy the content, stay up to date, and that's it. And we keep on rolling from there. Speaking of rolling, we're going to hit a timeout. Then we will continue to roll after that. We'll dive into all this chaos going on right now. When we come back, and we'll keep on rolling, we'll continue talking about Alabama as they continue to prep for Oklahoma. Maybe we'll, hour number two, maybe go back and take a little bit more of a look at that Oklahoma game, really assess some things that, you know, we can clean up from that game alone, and then us as a team in general. We'll keep doing all that. We'll keep breaking things down. We'll keep diving into the weeds of everything going on Alabama college football when we come back right here on the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store. America's art sport experts, buckle up. We're just getting started. We'll be right back.
Decks, paver patios, outdoor living spaces, and more. Let the professionals at Hudco Landscaping and Irrigation do those projects around your home or business. HudcoLandscape.com.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past that has not been the case. And this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on advertise with us on our website.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Thursday edition of Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's arch support experts. All right, Chase, we got to dive right into it, man. I know everybody on the stream, they see the thumbnail, they see the title, they want to talk about it, so we're going to do it, man. What a series of events over the last, 24 hours, Chase? Listen, I mean, it honestly is crazy how fast all this stuff has developed. So let's start from quote unquote the beginning. This is what we know. So yesterday, and I don't know what time it was yet. Let me go back actually. So a couple weeks ago, there was rumors, right? There was rumors that Sharon Moore was being investigated. Actually, I just skipped the whole thing. What we're talking about is Michigan head coach, former Michigan head coach Sharon Moore was fired, leading to another head coaching vacancy in college football for another really big, reputable program. That was that. Then it comes out, not after or when he, you know, got fired, comes out citing basically the reasoning was because he was fired with cause, meaning they don't owe him a dime. You know, inappropriate relationship with a staff member, whatever the wording was. And then that went from bad to worse because last night more details emerged of his actions following the release of his firing and the reasonings why that led to him being detained. And he is in police custody and arrested, not only for threatening the life of somebody else, his own, and, you know, being a threat to really his own well-being and all that stuff. And I'll just say this, listen, as crazy as this whole story has gone, I just want to say, man, it's very, I know we talk about it in the sports media and it's all over. And I'll be honest with you, I don't even like it. Right. Because this is somebody's personal life. This is somebody's family's personal life. I mean, kids are affected by this. Listen, you're talking to somebody. Look, my dad stepped out. Look, he don't mind me saying this. This is his testimony. My dad stepped out on my mom and my parents got divorced. I know how this whole thing affects a family and a kid. So I'll be honest. I want to preface by saying I hate this whole thing. I hate even talking about it, but it's big news and we kind of have to. So that said, I mean, very sad and unfortunate situation. So number one, I just hope on a personal level, he's able to get everything that he needs to help get back on track and figure out whatever he needs to figure out. Yeah, and thank you, Dom. Allegedly, right? You got to say allegedly with a lot of this stuff because innocent until proven guilty. But the part that it wouldn't be allegedly is that he did, I guess you still got to say this, allegedly, after an argument with his wife, go to the home of the staffer that he was involved with and then threaten her life as well as his own. So obviously, we're going to try to lean more into the football side of things, but that's literally kind of what has transpired and how this whole thing has just gone from bad to worse. And again, I'm just praying for everybody in the situation involved because it's a very ugly situation. You hate it. I mean, you're talking about a guy that literally went from having one of the best coaching jobs in the country. I say best because, I mean, guys, Michigan is, it's a story program. I mean, it's a great, great job. I mean, and like literally in the snap of some, you know, snapping the fingers, right, or blink of an eye, whatever you want to use, this dude lost a great job. He lost He lost millions of dollars. He lost, most importantly, his family. And now, I mean, potentially losing his freedom because of his actions. So the moral of the story, guys, is number one, make better decisions, man. Make better decisions. And two, you go from bad to worse when you make even more bad decisions because of previous and prior, you know, poor decision making. It's just a sad thing overall. That said, we'll dive, I guess, a little bit more into that if you guys want in a second. But the way this kind of circles back to us, because I know we cover Alabama, you know, for the most part. Well, now, as you guys could have guessed, Michigan's automatically, they're looking for a coach. We know that. But who are they going to start pointing fingers at least the media? Kalen DeBoer. Why is that? Well, we'll talk about that. I mean, you look at Kalen DeBoer, his resume, what he's done, I mean, he's going to be a hot name. Not to mention a lot of the younger up-and-coming candidates. We just kind of went through that, you know, series of those hirings, right? The Summeralls, I mean, you got Golish to Auburn, right? I mean, those guys, those candidates that a lot of people were turning their attention to, they're all taken. And we're talking about this is University of Michigan. I mean, so, like, it's a big job. So who's out there? I mean, you got a guy like Kalen DeBoer, who's a big fish, who, again, I don't see that being the case, right? I don't see that being the case. I mean, you got a guy like Marcus Freeman they can make. Like, these are some big names. I just don't know if those end up happening. We see what happens most of the time. These guys end up getting locked up for, you know, extensions and whatnot. But here's the thing. This is what I'll say. These are my early thoughts on it, Chase. I'm curious about you. And I'm just going to go back to what I said last week when we were dealing with these rumors about Coach DeBoer potentially being linked to the Penn State job, which I immediately shut that down. And luckily, not luckily, but thankfully he came out and shut it down to put all that stuff to rest. But to me, I'm sticking with that, Chase, even with this scenario, right? To me, it's no different. You're talking about a guy, and Chris Lowe even said that he echoed the same thing. Talking about a guy that left a program that he just took to a national championship. Right. Probably had great relationships out there. I mean, like he was building it up. I mean, you're talking about the University of Washington, right? It's a good program, but it's not some of these other big ones. He decided to leave that and take on the challenge of being the next head coach of the University of Alabama after head coach Nick Saban, who shout out to my former coach, man, getting inducted in the Hall of Fame, man. I forgot to mention that yesterday, by the way. Shout out Coach Saban. But decides to take it over an Alabama football program after Coach Saban, which everybody says you don't want to be the guy after the man. You want to be the guy after the guy who was after the guy, right? Coach DeBoer, man, he had the cones to do that. And to me, it would make no sense why he would decide to leave before it really even got started, in my opinion. And why do I say it like that? Year one was year one. They go 9-3. It really was the roster that he inherited. And listen, I'm not saying that in the sense of like it was some bad roster. No, he had a lot of good players, a lot of talent. But it wasn't, there was not enough time for it to marinate and for him to get his system in here and to really, you know, have a true shot at accomplishing what he set out to accomplish when he took this job. I personally don't believe he just took the job to say, hey, I was once the head coach at the University of Alabama after Coach Saban. No, I think he took the job for the challenge, right? Why else would he have left? I mean, the Washington program, again, he just was playing in the national championship game. If he was content there or settled, you know, he's fine with saying, hey, we got good players, you got a good little system going, I'm comfortable here. He could have stayed there, but no, he wanted to take on the challenge. He wanted to be one of the few guys that, you know, was confident enough to do that. And for that reason alone, I think is the biggest reason why I think a lot of Alabama fans should feel confident that this shouldn't be too much of a concern. Now, listen, never say never. And the only reason I say it like that is because I've learned from being a player, from being around this whole deal since I was a kid and just knowing how the coaching, whole career, everything works. Anything can happen, right? I think we're all aware of that. But personally, Chase, you know, all our listeners, I don't see it happening. I just think it's way too soon. Not to mention the logistics of things. I mean, you talk about buyouts and, you know, the structures of contracts, the language and things that it would entail, not just with him. Think about this, guys, the assistants. Do you know how much we pay on, like, our offensive staff makes? And you think he's not going to want to bring those guys with him? So you're not talking about just Kalen DeBoer's buyout. You're talking about those guys and personnel. Courtney Morgan, he's, you know what I mean? Like, I think that's why a lot of Bama fans definitely get a little concerned when they hear this, because they don't want to find themselves in the position of these other universities. But it's kind of interesting. You think about it, like, well, Courtney Morgan has some Michigan ties in it, but that's not, no. Because I know some people are kind of trying to put that, you know, thing together. No. I just think it's way too soon for them to even consider that. But again, I guess you just have to wait and see. But I know the title of the stream is kind of, saying, is he a favorite? I'll be honest. From their side of things, could he be a favorite here? Absolutely. I think if I'm Michigan and I'm looking for a coach that, you know, carries himself well, which is clearly going to be important in this situation, given the prior head coaching situation, a head coach that has a resume and has the experience of being successful, you know, ranked games, stuff like that. I mean, you know what I mean? Like he has a lot to be attracted to of your university trying to find a coach. Well, it makes sense. So I believe he probably will be on their radar. However, I don't see it coming to fruition. We'll dive more into it. I've got plenty more thoughts and I want to get y'all's thoughts. I see a lot of chat comments and all that stuff going. So we'll get to that. But first, we want to take a timeout. Plus, we want to go to the phone lines 205-342-9904. We'll do that when we come back after this quick timeout. Right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. But head coach Kalen DeBoer be on the move already before his before finishing his second year completely.
29. That's 800-923-6829. What do you have to lose? Call 800-923-6829. Again, 800-923-6829.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Presented by the Good Feet Store, America's art support experts. Yeah, this came up in the comment section, guys, during the break. And then I was talking about this with some people yesterday, and I'm curious what y'all's thoughts were. It's like they decide to fire him now. And this came up because someone mentioned, like, hey, if he would have beat Ohio State, maybe it was different. It almost makes you wonder, because they were investigating it for quite some time. It's almost like they probably did have an idea, like Jake mentioned. They probably knew about it. Could it have been a deal or a situation where they said, you know, we know there's probably something like this going on, right? This could be our opportunity to move on from him. Because when you fire a coach with cause, they don't owe the crazy buyouts that they would if they fire somebody. And you see the likes of LSU, right, with Brian Kelly. They weren't playing up to their potential, but they also weren't terrible. And that was, I mean, a hefty price they had to pay just to fire the man, then go and hire Lane Kiffin. So you see the lengths that these schools and universities are going to if they even feel, hey, it's not quite good enough. I mean, Michigan this year, I mean, they weren't terrible by any means, right? I know they lost to Ohio State, and I think they started the year okay. But again, it's not like, I mean, listen, I don't think it was bad enough. I think, yeah, they finished 9-3, right? So I don't think it was necessarily bad enough to just want. That's why part of me is almost like maybe they just were like, all right, man, this is plenty of reason. Because their losses were Ohio State, who's the number one team at the time. They lost to a USC team, who I believe is now ranked in the final rankings. And then they lost to Oklahoma, another ranked team, who's a top 10 team. Listen, part of me feels like, and I hate to be that guy to say, oh, well, I'm not saying that was the only thing, because, again, his actions were fireable. We all know that. I'm not saying that they were making excuses, but I wouldn't be shocked if they kind of said on the premise of, hey, you know, we got this here. It gives us a chance to go ahead and move on from him. I just personally don't think they felt like he was the true answer long term, personally. I mean, remember, you know, he got bumped up after the whole Harbaugh thing, probably helped kind of, you know, as a nucleus, keep the team together and whatnot. It is what it is. My next question before we go to the phone lines is for you guys to think about this. Who do y'all feel like could be a true candidate? We know that Kalen DeBoer probably will somehow, some way, you know, be targeted. Again, I personally don't see that happening. I repeat, I do not see Kalen DeBoer leaving for Michigan. Now, watch me say this, Chase, with such conviction, and then something crazy happens. But if it's not him, I'm curious who you guys think could be a potential candidate. 205-342-9904. I want to jump over to the phone lines and hit those early. We got Sonny from Mobile up first. Sonny, welcome in.
How you doing, Chris?
Hey, Sonny, what's going on, man?
Yeah, I was just on the Kalen DeBoer. First, let me say, I mean, I have no idea whether he's leaving or not. I just sit back and laugh at some of the reasons the media give. They say, well, he's under pressure at Alabama to make the playoffs and win a national championship. It'd be just like that at Michigan. The only difference is at Alabama, you expected your big rival, you expected to beat his Auburn. At Michigan, you expected to beat Ohio State.
Yeah.
Did you tell me which is easier as a coach, beating Auburn or beating Ohio State?
True. Well, I'll say this. The only difference I would say is, and listen, Caleb Downs even confirmed this. To be fair, the schedule of the Big Ten, I mean, you got three maybe games that you really got to, you know, put your socks and shoes on the right way and really suit up for. And then the rest, you know, the level of, you know, you can cut. And I'm not saying you can coast, but in comparison to the SEC, I do understand that. I mean, listen, there's going to be a little bit less pressure in that aspect, right? Versus, you know, hey, Coach DeBoer on a week-to-week basis. And he learned that, you know, real time this season, having four straight ranked games. But look how he handled it. To me, yes, there's a lot of pressure with him being the head coach at Alabama. Hell, just like Courtney Morgan mentioned. You're damn right. Fans will criticize how you dress if you're not winning football games. I mean, it's tough. But I just don't see that being enough to make him leave all of a sudden. Like, he's already in it now. You know what I mean? That would be a bad look. It would look like you were running from the challenge if you left this soon. Personally, that's just my opinion.
I mean, it may be an easier schedule, but look at Ryan Day. They were ready to run him out of town if he lost again to Michigan. So you can go 2-11-1 at Michigan. But if you lose that Ohio State game 2 or 3 years in a row, they're going to run you out of town.
True. You're not wrong there.
I mean, if I'm the Alabama coach, I can beat Auburn. If I take care of my business, I can beat Auburn. But if you're the Michigan coach, I mean, you can do things right, still lose to Ohio State. So, I mean, I'd rather take my chances of being the Alabama coach, beating Auburn, than I had taking the Michigan job and trying to beat Ohio State every year.
Yeah, no, I definitely hear you. And to be fair, listen, man, I mean, look, he's got a very nice system going right here, whether it's, you know, with Courtney Morgan as general manager. He's got a lot of support from athletic director Greg Byrne. You know that script A holds a lot of weight, so you already understand that. Listen, they're recruiting well. I just think it would be, number one, it would be extremely risky, because if it don't work out, where are you going to go from there? And then two, it just, to me, like, you just are now somewhat getting settled, right? Because we're talking about you're just finishing up year two. You just finished the regular season year two. To me, it just doesn't make sense. Now, again, we're having this conversation after year three is completely concluded, or even maybe probably more so like year four, maybe. Given it, depending on how things are looking at that point, maybe. But right now, I still think way too soon.
People act like he just found out he's replacing Nick Saban this year. I mean, he was replacing Nick Saban the whole time.
That's true.
I just find that to be, ridiculous. But I'm telling you, if he goes to Michigan and he's 0-2 against Ohio State going into year three, he's going to be on the hot seat.
Oh, yeah. No, you're 100% right. They take that serious, man. Like you mentioned, before they won the championship game, that tells you everything to know. They were in the playoffs, but because they lost their rival, they wanted to fire the guy. I mean, a few weeks later or a month later, whatever it was, they won a national championship game. So,
they're going to fire Ryan. They're going to fire him.
Yeah, they were. Or at least they wanted to.
He had a great record. They were going to fire him if he hadn't won a national championship.
Yeah,
The same with Michigan. You can go 10-2 and 11-1, but if you go 0-3 against Ohio State, they're gonna fire you.
Yeah, no, you're not wrong. You're not wrong. And I think that's just kind of where we're at in college football in general. Hell, I mean, look at all these programs, man. Like, I mean, we're in a microwave society. You really got about 2 years as a head coach to show that you can get your team in a position to compete for a championship. If not, The times of 3-4 years, it's been cut down to about 2 years. If you don't show within those 2 years, we're seeing the length that these schools are going. I mean, we're talking $50, $60, $70 million decisions to fire a guy just because it's like, not quite where we needed it. Don't know who they're going to start turning to. I mean, I don't think half these other guys that they're hiring are the solution either. Personally, I think they're good coaches, but I don't think there's a huge difference. I'm kind of with Sarkisian on this. Like, who are you supposed to turn to? I mean, you're taking a risk on these younger guys.
Sarkisian needs to be fired. I mean, you go into year what I'm saying is, you going into year six at Texas with arguably the highest payroll in the country, and not only have you not won a national championship, you ain't even played for one. So he should be on the hot seat.
But I hear. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, what I'm saying is every circumstance is different. I mean, I'm just not.
No, it is.
I'm just not a big fan of Steve Sarkisian. I think he's overrated as a coach. But anyway, every time this team plays against a good defense, they get shut down. But the same way with Lane Kiffin. He got 2 years at LSU to get things going. If he's not, they're going to fire him.
Yeah,
so that's pressure.
Probably.
There's pressure everywhere to win now, not just at that place like Alabama.
Yeah, no, you're 100% right. And I was going to say, I mean, with Sarkisian, here's my thing. I will say I agree. I think they underperformed this year. I know they had a lot of expectations, and I'm with Coach Saban. It's not fair to put all these expectations. Hell, half the time these coaches don't even know what they have until they step on the football field. That said, though, you're right. I mean, they had a damn good defense. But with him being an offensive guy, I was disappointed. I guess it could be the term, or just I was underwhelmed with what they produced offensively for a large majority of the season. The back half, they played much better football. I thought Arch, looked a lot better. But I'm with you. I mean, with Sarkisian being an offensive guy, it just had me scratching my head, which leads me to, what we're going to talk about here in a little bit. Is there any concern for you guys as fans that, and I'm putting this a little bit more towards Grubb. I hate to do this, but it's just sports talk radio. That when Kalen DeBoer came here, remember, I mean, they had the reputation for the offensive gurus. I mean, top passing team in the country and very effectively, very effective offensively. But it's kind of crazy you think about it. I mean, through 2 years, now last year we put up better numbers with, I would say, a quarterback who, while was a much better athlete, didn't have as much, passing potential, which we all thought this year, hey, we got a guy that fits what they want to do. There should be better results. But we've actually, it's been the opposite. The scoring has been worse this year with a quarterback that's more of a fit and a better receiver room and better production for the offensive line. At what point do we start kind of turning a little bit more to coaching in this situation. Again, I hate to be that guy, and I'm not trying to make everybody go ask, you know, start rioting for people to leave. I'm just genuinely asking y'all's opinion on that.
Can I say just one last thing?
Yeah.
I think one of the biggest things that he's battling, there was a big misperception of the type of roster he took over. Mm-hmm. The people thought that he took over this great roster, which he didn't. He did not. Because of these recruiting rankings and whatnot. And I think he's battling that perception of he took over this loaded roster from Nick Saban and underachieved with it, which to me, in my opinion, is the opposite. He took over an average roster that he's overachieved with. Now, you may disagree with that. That's fine. But I just don't think he took over a great roster. I mean, what were all the great running backs?
No, and you know, listen, I'm kind of, who'd be surprised, right? I'm kind of down the middle because while I will say I agree to an extent, meaning me and my dad did talk about this on the show. When a lot of people were just quick to kind of just label, oh, Alabama, you know, best roster in the country. We were a little hesitant on putting that label on and just knowing that, hey, offensive line play hadn't been, you know, great. We've been literally searching for better tackle play for years now. Running game hadn't really been there. Hell, remember this last year, we were trying to figure out after Isaiah Bond left, I mean, like, receiver room, right? We're about to have to rely on a 17-year-old true freshman more than likely to be the guy. So I'm not disagreeing with you, but again, to an extent, because I will say he could have inherited a much worse roster too. So he did have a lot of talent, but it might not have been at the level of what some people were putting the label on them as. But yeah, I'm with you. It is interesting to see, like, maybe over the next year or two how things could change a little bit. But I can't help but say, at least for me, for this year, I'm just trying to find out what is the true reason that we're not seeing at least better growth, because all the things are in play, right? The quarterback that's a better fit for the system, a better wide receiver room, and better production for an offensive line. Now, I get that the running game could have, quote unquote, regressed, but that's just because the quarterback was the best runner you had last year. Now he's gone. So outside of that,
we also played some good defenses down the stretch.
Yeah, no, we have played good defense, but again, when you're labeled as an offensive guru, I mean, the expectation is for you to also put up a challenge and to stress those good defenses out. So again, I'm not taking aim at the coaches or the coordinator. I'm just genuinely just asking, I think, you know, genuine questions.
All right, man. Thank you for your time.
Yes, sir, Sonny. I appreciate you, brother. Good deal. We got a lot of people in here, man. If you're just tuning in, we're talking about Kalen DeBoer being a favorite. For Michigan, on Michigan side of things, trying to, you know, poach him. But then we're also talking about y'all's thoughts on where we're at offensively. Again, I don't want to make this a conversation where people are, I'm not calling for anybody. This is not what that is. So let me say that. I don't do that. But I just think these are genuine questions that I'm curious what y'all think about this. Because again, bringing Grubb in was supposed to be, hey, we got the coordinator that we were expecting, that everybody wanted. We got a quarterback that's a better fit that everybody said, oh, if you just change the quarterback, everything would take off and be, you know, twice as good. We got better receivers in the offensive line play production-wise is better. Fewer sacks, fewer pressures. The only thing that really you can argue is, well, the running game has struggled. But that still was a problem the last couple of years. And with those facts, the numbers have been down this year. Want to get y'all's thoughts, 205-342-9904. We got to hit a timeout. When we come back, we keep on rolling.
Grand prize winner scores $2,600 in cash. Join the celebration and toast to new beginnings and big wins at Pearl River Resort. Must be 21 or older to play.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393.
Merry Christmas from all of us here at Taylor Electrical.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
we are here for you.
Aggressively pursuing victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Mostly sunny this afternoon, the high today 49. Fair tonight with the low at 34. A warmer day tomorrow, partly to mostly sunny, the high 60. And we stay dry Saturday, a mixture of clouds and sunshine with a high at 57. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 49 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Welcome back into this Thursday edition of Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230. WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's art support experts, man. We've been rolling this week, man. I mean, great content, great guests, and then we got a great conversation going right now. A bunch of people here on the stream. If you guys that haven't checked us out already, check us out at the Miller's Edge. If you're still on radio, keep doing it, man. We love that. And for our listeners here on the stream, just know we also have our radio app, Tide 100.9. You always can download that, not only listen to me and my show, but all the other shows as well. Plus, keep up with, Crimson Tide Sports Network, where I do work over there, my post-game show and all that stuff. So I like merging the two, so. Tide 100.9, meet our YouTube stream. YouTube stream, meet Tide 100.9. Y'all figured out. All right, let's go back to the phone lines, 205-342-9904. We've got Ty Miller up next, maybe one of my long-lost cousins from Pittsburgh. Ty, welcome in.
What's up, Christian? I don't know if I'm a relative, but nice to listen to your show, man. I listen every week as much as I can. I'm actually from Bessemer.
Oh, really?
I grew up down in Bessemer. Yeah, and I'm a longtime Tide fan, so I watch everything they do. I actually do some sports reporting up here in Pittsburgh, so I always watch
nice, what man. Yeah. That's awesome, man.
You do a great show, man. As a former athlete, you're one of the better ones I've heard, so just keep it up. I do like your dad when he's on. I don't know what happened to him, but I just like his point of view. A little rough around the edges, but I actually enjoy his point of view at times.
Oh, yeah. But, well, thank you so much for those words. And, yeah, he took over a church, so he's been busy, and unfortunately, he's not on as much, but he always did add that other dynamic, another layer. And like you said, a little rough around the edges, he's going to shoot you straight. A lot of people don't like it sometimes, but if you look back, you kind of say, damn, he had some points. He definitely was on to something.
He was a truth teller, definitely. Yeah. In answer to your question about the Michigan job, I really don't care who Michigan gets, to be honest with you, but I don't think we'll see Kellen DeBoer come out right away and deliberately say that he's not going to Michigan. And I'll say that because his agent is Jimmy Sexton. And you know who Jimmy Sexton is. He kind of stirs the pot with a lot of college coaches. So to keep the narrative going, to keep the fires burning, to keep everything going, I don't think you'll see that right away. I agree with you that Kellen DeBoer is in the right spot because he's on the brink of winning the championship. Maybe not this year. And I think we all agree that if he could just conform, and by that I mean conform to what the Alabama standard is or has been for a long time in terms of run the ball, find a running game, that will fix a lot of ills that's going on with his team, not now, but just for the future. Because if you remember the Nick Saban days when he had Lane Kiffin, there were times when even Coach Saban, you could tell, say, hey, Lane, run the ball. Because Lane was pass happy. And there were times to rest that defense, you have to run the ball. So in that respect, I think Kellen DeBoer is in the right spot, but he needs to, as everybody agrees, fix the running game, because just like we go back to the Auburn game, 17-0, you get the ball near midfield, and all of a sudden we got a double reverse that results in a 15-yard loss, and that killed that drive and gave Auburn momentum. And when momentum starts, you know what happens. So I think we all agree with that. But so far as how much Alabama's in the news right now, I think people have a thirst, especially Tide detractors. They have a thirst for Alabama football to go back to the days pre-Saban, because we were mired in mediocrity before Coach Saban came on. After Gene Stallings, we had a couple of years where we had good records and things like that. But now that Coach Saban came on the scene, that's the dominant years of Alabama football. But if you throw this thing into disarray once again, who knows when it might get back on track? Because what's happened right now, even after Coach Saban retired, we are still on track. Now, there are people unhappy, but DeBoer's done a great job in a couple of seasons he's been there. And I think it's only going to get better again if he just does a few things to tweak his offensive systems and his defensive systems. But I think people have a thirst. There's so much Alabama hatred. I read the message boards. Oftentimes, people just anything pro-Alabama they hate. Just even with the playoffs. Two wins, two losses, rather. They were in. The SEC championship game really didn't matter, so they were getting in no matter what. But people still are talking about that as if they were not supposed to be there. And if Kellen DeBoer leaves Alabama, I do think it would throw things off track for a minute. And I think at that point, we would be in a situation, we'd be in Alabama football fans, we'd be in a situation where we might be thrown into the middle of the SEC pack, because I have a sneaky suspicion that Auburn's made a good hire with Golden. Mm-hmm. And keeping DJ Durkin as defensive coordinator is just like a good match. And we know, if you watch Tide football, the last couple of years against USF, they gave Alabama problems with the running quarterback. And the running quarterback that Auburn has right now, if they hold on to him, he's a better athlete than Golish had down at South Florida. So I just think that he may be coming in with a lot. I think he's a sneaky good hire. But I think we're on track if DeBoer stays, but I don't think you'll see the narrative cease about Michigan, because that's exactly what people want, and it feeds the media. And it's going to drive it for the next couple of weeks. And it's the worst news for Alabama going into a game against Oklahoma next week. But I do think, and I'm pretty sure you know well, that when players lock in and they get focused, what's going on the outside, if you can block that out, it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm.
No, you're 100% right. And I'll tell you, Todd, I mean, I agree with everything you just said. And by the way, you clearly do some type of broadcast, and you have the voice for it and the delivery, man. You're smooth as butter with it. But listen, no, I'm with you. I think if Alabama and Coach DeBoer, they figure those little tweaks out, because like you said, I mean, they're right there. They're on the cusp of things. I mean, you go from 9-3 year one, and his first year, the introductory year, getting settled, and then year two, you see the progression. Yes, there's still some, not necessarily, you know, concerns, but question marks, whatever you want to label it. You know, running game, the offense not necessarily performing up to the standard that he probably would like. But I'm with you. I mean, I think you find a way to get the running game going. You find ways to get your playmakers the football, and you find a way to make better adjustments when you're going against some of these better defenses, because we'll talk about that here in a little bit. I think really, man, the way defense is playing right now, they're definitely playing good enough to win you a championship, in my opinion. I think
agree, because defense wins championships, and Alabama does. Ken Womack does have the defense playing at a high level, because last week, the thing that changed momentum, we all know, in that game was the block punt. And not only that, when the interception happened, position, and they got the short field, and short fields kill the defense, we all know that. So I do agree with you that the defense is playing really well, and I do appreciate the breakdown you do on YouTube, showing people what really happens at times. Like you've explained to people that it was not Jalen Milroe. He was never the problem. You know, and a lot of people wanted him out, and now they see the deficiencies, not in Ty Simpson, but how efficient Jalen Milroe was as a quarterback. I appreciate the breakdowns you do to show people that.
No, absolutely. And listen, that's why we enjoy doing it. It's not to be the I told you so or the smartest guy in the room. I just enjoy trying to bring that experience that I've had and educate the listeners and the fans. I know everybody, they love football, but I don't think they really know what football truly is. And it's always fun to be able to show the tape, because I always say, man, I can show you better than I can tell you. It's easy for people to sit in front of a microphone and say, oh, they can't run the ball, they can't do, but it's easier for me just to put on the tape and say, no, this is why we can't run it, and this is what we need to do. So, no, thank you so much for the kind words, Ty. You said you do some broadcast. Is there anything you want to shout out? Like, do you have anything that people can keep up with? I know you're in Pittsburgh, but...
Yeah, my website is championshipchasetv.com. You'll see me comment from time to time on your show to put up a little Championship Chase logo, because I cover the Steelers. And I also I also have my own news and sports network. It's the Power News Radio Network. And we send out reports daily to radio stations who don't have news departments across the country.
Wow. Well, good deal, man. I'm glad we could connect, man. Well, hey, feel free to call in anytime. I'd love to chop it up some more in the future, and best of luck with all the great things that you're doing as well, man. I hope you have a great rest of your day, Ty.
Thank you, man, and you keep up the work as well.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much, man. Good deal. Roll Tide, man. I mean, that was a great call. Listen, all our calls are great, and I appreciate all our listeners. Well, we got a couple of trolls that intentionally try to, very, very seldom, but my point is, man, I appreciate talking with all you guys, but that was cool, man. Really good stuff, man. And like you said, he does some stuff as well. So make sure you guys keep up with that. We got to hit this top of the hour break. When we come back, we keep on rolling. We got some more folks signed up on the phone lines. A lot of people want to talk about this. We'll keep doing it. We'll keep reading you guys in the chat, and we'll keep on rolling right here on the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC.
WTBC Tuscaloosa and W265 CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app. From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles, here's Martin Weiss.
Fired head coach Sharon Moore was in custody at the Washtenaw County Jail Wednesday night as a suspect in alleged assault, just hours after the university announced he was being fired for what was, quote, an inappropriate relationship with a staff member. The Oklahoma City Thunder advanced to the NBA Cup semifinals for the second consecutive year, beating the Suns 138-89. This win tying Golden State, the 73-win Warriors, with a 24-1 start. SGA had 28 points and 8 assists. Chet Holmgren, 24 and 8 rebounds, 4-for-4 from 3. Broncos practice squad quarterback Sam Ehlinger reportedly turned down the Indianapolis Colts when they called and asked if he'd like to join their active roster. The team had hoped to sign him and Phillip Rivers, who did sign his practice squad deal today. Riley Leonard was a full participant in practice for Indianapolis, and the team activated quarterback Brett Rippon from their practice squad. I'm Martin Weiss.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9149 for your free estimate today. That's 205-393-9149. Asphalt Restoration, where smooth roads start. Roll Tide.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing
victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past, that has not been the case. In this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise With Us on our website.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's art support experts, man. Another great day, man. We're rolling here on the show. We've had a great week, right? Multiple guests, you know, throughout the week today. We don't have a guest, Slay One, feeling great, but we're rolling, and man, we've got over 100 people here on the stream hanging out with us on YouTube. A bunch of calls lined up, really good calls, talking about some really good football conversation. And man, I'm enjoying it, man. So big thanks to all you guys and everybody that supports us, and Chase and Reed and you guys behind the glass making it possible. That said, hour number two is officially underway. What do we talk about? Hour number one, Michigan rumors, all those dealings, right? Coach DeBoer being a name popping up in that candidacy. We'll see what happens. Again, I've already told you guys, I don't think it does happen at all, but we'll have to monitor it and see. Hopefully he can come out and push the rumor, put the rumors to bed like he did with the Penn State deal. I'm sure he probably will. And I know he's probably sick of having to do that, but in today's day and age with social media and news and all that stuff, man, you kind of have to do that, man, or things will start growing. Just like allegedly, I think there's rumors that Ty has a herniated disc and stuff. I don't know where some of this stuff comes from, man. I mean, like, listen, sometimes I'm sure there's some truth to some of these rumors that are out there, but other times I see stuff that I'm like, that is not even remotely close, man. That I don't know where these things grow. They just get legs and they just grow fast as hell. But I guess that's why they're rumors. All right, let's do this. Let's keep rolling. We got a good little streak on the phone lines, 205-342-9904. We got Carson up next. Carson, welcome in.
Christian, man, what's up with you?
Man, not much, man. Just talking football. Fun week here on the show, man. I can't complain, man. Feeling blessed, man. How about you?
Good, man. It's been a while since I called in, so I'm glad to be here.
Absolutely.
Man, today, I guess this morning or yesterday evening was an absolute whirlwind in the news.
Yeah.
Firstly, I want to give my condolences and prayers to Sharon Moore's family, including him. I mean, that family needs help right now. So if you're in chat and you're a praying person, say a prayer for them, because it's just awful. And he needs help as well. So say a prayer for him. But I mean, this whole rumor mill is getting out of hand, quite frankly. I mean, the only post that I see for Kalen DeBoer taking the Michigan job, taking the Penn State job, are being propped up by people that have notoriously not liked Alabama. I mean, not to say that Michigan won't pursue him. Yeah, obviously they will. Like, they'd be dumb not to. You know,
right.
Of course, you're going to turn over every stone to get the best coach possible. That's not what I'm talking about here. But if you go, and I'll call them out by name, T-Bob Hebert, Matt Muscana, Nicole Auerbach, Tim Brando, all of those people have never had positive light coverage on Alabama, ever. And their narrative is that the pressure, Kalen DeBoer, the pressure is too much for him at Alabama. I would say they don't know Kalen DeBoer. I mean,
right.
he ran to that pressure. And if you think that somehow going to Michigan alleviates that pressure, you're just wrong. I mean, if you don't beat Ohio State, they were probably, if Sharon Moore didn't beat Ohio State again next year, he might have been on his way out anyways. So, like,
yeah, look at their three losses this year. I mean, again, the 9-3 record. This is what I'm saying. I mean, they lost Ohio State, but USC, who ended up being ranked, I think, in the final pollings, and then Oklahoma, they lost to the second game of the season, who was a top 10 team. I mean, that, to me, that's not a bad year at all. But we know, yes, these, you know, the everything that's coming out now was, you know, why he was fired. But still, you get what I'm saying. I agree with you. I think even if he lost next year without all the stuff outside of the football field happening, they probably would have considered firing him then. And that's just, we're in a microwave society with these coaches.
Yeah, 100%. And I mean, like, and that's what I was saying. I'm like, if this is your narrative, it's a bad one. You know, like, if you're a sports writer and you're saying Kalen DeBoer should go to Michigan because of the pressure at Alabama, I'm like, you think it gets easier? Like, this is, man, we're just in such a, like you said, a microwave. Like, it doesn't matter. You're not going to escape it unless you check out completely. And he's not doing that. I think, you know, the opportunity we have right now with all of the flaws, with all of the things that we, you know, didn't execute well, we're not healthy, whatever it may be. We have a really good opportunity in this second season, like what Nakai was talking about yesterday, to go and prove it to everybody, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm excited for that. I think that their lock-in level is really, really high. I hope that the health gets back. And, you know, we have a good showing in the playoff, whether we win it or not. It's hard to do, but you know, if we come out and just, you know, lock in and execute the way that we have seen before, I think, you know, it's successful. I mean, and to say DeBoer hasn't been successful at Alabama is just a flat out lie. I mean, you don't finish top five in recruiting. You don't get a bid for the playoff if you aren't doing something right. Now, are we doing everything right? Maybe not. But
what are your thoughts on that, Carson? Let me ask you that. I mean, because that's a segueing into that second topic that we've brought up. If you look at this team right now, one could argue that defensively we're doing everything we need to do to win football games and potentially win a championship. I mean, they're playing some damn good football. I mean, if you want to nitpick, you know, get back to forcing some more turnovers, a little bit more consistency. With a little bit more consistency, it's kind of been down a little bit in the last few games. Which, listen, again, we're talking about nitpicking. Maybe a little bit more consistent pass rush. I mean, we started getting it back up, and then it's kind of, you know, a little bit past few games, you know, been a little. But then I also could argue that we're facing a lot of quick passing game, and we're not having a lot of opportunities, right? If you look at Oklahoma, how they played. If you look at even Georgia, or you don't have as many Georgia, opportunities of just. Yeah, true drop back. So you also take that in consideration. That said, defense is doing what they need to do. But then offensively, you look at it, Carson. I think I heard this stat, and I would love for somebody in the chat. We've got over 130 people in here. Maybe you guys can fact check me. Someone told me that we haven't scored offensively over 20 points in an SEC game. I don't know if it was like last whatever games like this season. And I want somebody to fact check me on that. Or over like 20-something points. And I thought about it. I'm like, dang. That is kind of crazy to think about that this offense with the weapons that we have on the outside, right? I mean, with a quarterback like Ty, who was playing the way he was playing through the middle stretch of the season, like one of the best quarterbacks in the country, that we are struggling that bad to put up points. And if you really look at it, over the last few games, we really had a hard time putting up points. I mean, at what point? I mean, what do you think needs to be done, Carson, the next really week? You got about 8 days until you travel to Norman. What needs to be done offensively for us to have a chance of walking away successful, moving on to next round?
Your offensive coordinator and your offensive staff need to get out of their own heads, and your quarterback needs to have a lot more confidence. You need to instill the confidence in your quarterback. It's not, look, I tagged you in something on X about this, and whether you watch it on stream, it's from a podcast with Roger Schultz, who used to play center for Alabama. And I'll kind of just, this goes into answering your question, but it kind of iterates what he was saying. I'll kind of sum it up. He said, week six, I knew who the best offensive linemen were, our best five. He said, it's Proctor, big 71, 72, Thornby at right guard, and the freshman, Michael Carroll. He said, I heard all of this stuff that, you know, the freshman doesn't know all the plays yet. And he said, I don't care. He said, that's why you put the right tackle, the Thornby, he used to play right tackle at right guard. He said, I played offensive line. He said, that's why you put Thornby there and you let him play because they give you the best chance to win. He said, against Georgia, we're talking ourselves out of what we're seeing. And there was one look that Georgia gave, five-man box, Ty checks to something else. They bring people in. It's an eight-man box now, and he checks to a run. He had single coverage on Jeremy Bernard, man coverage on Jeremy Bernard, and he had man coverage with Ryan Williams. They were in 3-by-1, if I'm not mistaken. And they had bracket, they had the safety over the top of Ryan. You had one-on-one coverage with Jeremy Bernard, and you ran the ball against the eight-man box. What is that? Is that lack of execution, or is that play calling? And it's not necessarily play calling. It's continuity. It's understanding what you're looking at. It's not getting fooled. It's. I don't think we have a bad offensive line. Now, have we executed properly every single time, even when we had advantage? No. But who does? I think that we can, like, if we ran the ball on the play with the five-man box, it's 8 yards. Like, we had the hats. Like, it's, you know, it was simple. But instead, we get the eight-man box and check to, and then check to the run and still run it. So we had the right look, checked out of it. And so that's what I mean. I don't think it's like completely, and I've been consistent on this all season. And you know, I come in to your chat and to the phone with optimism a lot of times. I do, and it's not completely blind, but I do have hope that giving Kalen DeBoer, giving Ryan Grubb opportunity to prep, to get it right, to get healthy, in a bye week in a big time game, one game scenario. I like our chances, man. I do. I like the way they prep. I've seen them in big games lock in. So I'm not completely out the window. I don't think Kalen DeBoer should leave Alabama. Like, we've done really good things, and I think it's only going to get better. Especially when you get the right personnel in there, that is exactly who you want. And, you know, not to say we don't have that now, but, you know, like, things are going to gel more in the future if we just stick it out. I do think he's a really good coach, but it's just we got to get right. But it's a one game season. I like the fight in our team. I like the mental complexion of our team, except in the Georgia game, for some odd reason, we didn't look like we wanted to be there. Could that have been no confidence because we had guys injured and we knew of injuries? I mean, Daniel Hill, Kalen DeBoer said in that presser after the game, he said, Daniel Hill's battling something I'm not even going to talk about. You know, like, so we're pretty banged up, but that's not an excuse. That's just when you lose confidence, it could be due to some of those things where it's like, the check that we got the punt blocked on, that's LT's spot. If LT was in the game, he makes that check 10 out of 10 times. But he wasn't, and we had to play a backup, and who has barely gotten to play, he doesn't make the check, we get the punt blocked. But that's not an excuse. That's just adds to the level of confidence, though, you know?
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, no, and I hear you. I agree. I'm like – they're right. There are guys dealing with things like that. But we've always said this. As an athlete, we've always said there's a difference between being hurt and being injured. What is being hurt? Being hurt is your ankle's tweaked a little bit. You got an AC joint that hadn't been right. You got things that are, you know, bumps and bruises, aches and pains. Everybody's dealing with that. An injury is I tore my bicep. I mean, completely ripped it.
Yeah, I can't play.
That's an injury. You know what I mean? So, with that said, I think we do have some guys banged up for sure. I hear what you're saying, but at the same time, like, man, I know Georgia's got guys dealing with labrums that they're waiting, you know, postseason to get surgery. I'm not, you know, so everybody kind of has that. But
no, of course.
Yes, in this game, you're right. We did have a number of our key guys out. To me, I'm looking at this offense, and I'm like, it wasn't just this game. Even before we had some of these major injuries, we've been dealing with this. And I kept trying to say, like, all right, well, you know, if we execute this, we just do this. But it gets to a point, too, where I'm watching this Georgia tape, I have it pulled up right now. We're still looking at it. And I'm like, man, I just can't understand why, like, they're literally, I know they're baiting you to do certain things. But I'm like, man, at some point, you have to get out your own way, like you said. And I think, I'm just going to use this word, I think sometimes we're a little stubborn. I think we're a little stubborn offensively, and we're trying to stick to our guns and what we want to do in certain things instead of adjusting and saying, okay, no, this is what we need to do in this situation, right? I'm going to take myself out of it or what I want to do, and I'm going to do what this team needs to do or what these players need in this moment. And I hate to throw that out there like that, but it's just, I'm just, honestly, that is what I'm getting for at this point with our offense.
I agree. No, I agree. And look, the smoke was in the air about the reason why Ryan Grubb was fired in Seattle. I hate bringing that up. I hate it because I never want to, you know, bash a guy if he's not deserving or if it's unfair. But, you know, we got to, that doesn't mean that his offensive scheme is terrible. I'm not saying that, you know, that's not what I'm, you know, like, but being having
no,
the ability
you can't be
to
stubborn,
pivot,
though.
No, you can't. Yeah, and a lot of guys lose jobs for being stubborn. Yeah. And I haven't liked the direction. It seems like a little bit of just, it's like, we're going to do it this way. And this is the way that we're going to do it. Like you were saying. And it's just like, hold on, you got to assess the situation here. Like, you got to have a little bit of being able to MacGyver something, you know, and put something together. And sometimes that means running the ball. Sometimes that means passing the ball. And, you know, we've not done terrible completely, but there just hasn't been a consistency. And do I think that we can have that? I do. I do. I do believe that they are smart enough and capable enough to put a plan together on a one-game season type scenario to be able to do those things. Like, and that's what I've been saying all along. I said, don't be surprised. This was weeks ago. Don't be surprised if we come out and do have a good running game. And we did against Oklahoma. We ran the ball pretty well. And not to the level that we want to see it, but it was better than the weeks past. And I just wasn't surprised by that, because I know that these guys are smart, but you got to get out of your own way. You got to instill confidence in your quarterback, especially in that type of system that is predicated on what the quarterback does. And you got to get out of your way. When I say simplify it, I don't mean dumb it down, you know,
right.
Like, you don't got to dumb it down. You just need to simplify it, make it to where it's easier. And, you know, and the dots connect better. But, you know, I really would encourage you to watch that podcast clip I sent you. Whether you do it on stream or not is up to you. But for yourself, because I really liked Roger Schultz's take on it. And he was a bit harsh, but, you know, it was some good insight.
Yeah, and I'll definitely check it out. I want to say, ironically, that looks like, is that Matt Coulter on there?
I believe so, yeah. I believe that's
Matt Coulter. Yeah, it's funny. So funny enough, Matt and then Lars, I think, is on there, has been in the past, because I saw them do an episode with somebody. I can't remember who it was. I was on a show. It was the three of us doing a show. This was our show then. Ended up turning into the Miller's Edge. So ironically, that's who those guys are on there.
But
I'll have to check that out and see what he was saying. I think I met him as well one time when we were doing a live broadcast somewhere. But yeah, I'll definitely check it out. Carson, I appreciate you, man. Great stuff as always. Good to hear from you, man.
You too, man. Have a good rest of your day, buddy.
Yes, sir. You too, brother. Good deal. That was our buddy Carson on the phone lines. We got to hit the timeout. We come back. We keep on rolling. We got Tommy and others lined up. Plus, got some tape pulled up. We'll keep talking about. I guess we'll look at some of the things that we're talking about right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9.
Mensclinic.com and change your life. That's right, guys. Change your life by going to primetimemensclinic.com.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past, that has not been the case. And this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more, Christmas shopping begins and your holiday spirit feels right at home.
Holiday hours Monday through Saturday and Sunday 1 to 5 at Northport.
Tell them Van the Bootman sent you.
Tide 100.9 Tuscaloosa weather.
Mostly sunny this afternoon, the high today 49, fair tonight with the low at 34. A warmer day tomorrow, partly to mostly sunny, the high 60. And we stay dry Saturday, a mixture of clouds and sunshine with a high at 57. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 51 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Edge Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Arch Support Experts. All right, so we've been rolling on the phone lines a bunch. I want to catch up on some of you guys in the comments, and I know our at message inbox as well. Let me check that, because I told you guys I'm being better on that. Again, you always can download the Tide 100.9 app and leave those questions, comments, and concerns right there. We got a couple from today. I think just two right now. Bear from Maple Park says, why doesn't Coach come out and put an end to the rumor about the Michigan job? Well, I mean, this is all so fresh and recent. I mean, I don't even know if he's had an opportunity to speak to the media in the past 24, 48 hours. So that would probably be why. I mean, I think it's way too early for him to even do something along the lines of like putting out some statement. But yeah, I I don't think it's, you know, appropriate for him to really just rush and do something. Like, if he's doing a press conference and they ask him, yes, I mean, I think he should just, you know, put a rest to it like he did with the Penn State thing. But I just think it's so soon he hadn't even had the opportunity there. We got another one from Spanky in Tuscaloosa. He says the defense won several games this year. Absolutely. South Carolina definitely won that one. I mean, I would argue LSU, the way we played. I mean, we came up with, you know, stops and key moments. I mean, that's, you know, a big one there. Trying to go bad. I mean, look at, I know Tennessee won bad offensively, but, you know, the plays by the defense definitely were big as well. And then even going back, I mean, hell, really, Georgia the first time around, the second half, we didn't score any points. So probably could kind of, you know, give defense a lot of credit on that one as well. I mean, Missouri, they came up with a stop at the end, played well as well. So, yeah, I mean, yeah, defense has definitely done their thing. And that's why I believe defense is where you need them to be at right now. We need the offense to figure something out. So, I mean, this is on the offense at this point, man. They've got to pick up the slack, you know, because especially, listen, people gave defense a little bit of a hard time the first few games. And then each week, week after week after week, they improved and they grew and got better. And then it almost like the opposite for the offense. So now, I mean, offense is kind of being held to the fire. It's on them. They got to figure something out. If we want to make a run in the playoffs, I don't care how good defense plays, it will not go very far if offense does not figure things out. That is a fact. And I think we all can agree on that. All right, 205-342-9904. Let's take another call real quick. We got Tommy up next. Tommy, welcome in.
Hey, Justin, how are you today?
I'm good, Tommy. How are you?
Can't complain. I do have a major complaint. I'm really getting tired of people bashing players and wanting to know about everything. Give the players and the coaching staff privacy. If somebody having problems, it's not none of my business to know. They'll let us know. Respect their privacy. This is like, I got to know everything you knew. I mean, David, I'm going to get on to y'all. Shut your damn mouth. You talk too much sometimes. They're playing doing this. They're playing got this problem. They're playing blowing up with your girlfriend. I don't need to know that. I just need to know when you're playing football game. I'm kind of getting tired of criticizing our players and our coaching staff.
Yeah, okay. That's why I said, Tommy, with this conversation, I know you're not talking about me, but I'm just saying, like,
I know.
But I'm even saying, I understand, because I've always been that type of person. I don't like when people just take aim at, oh, the coach is this, they that. And then everybody, you know, from the comfort of their home, right, or that's not seen these guys. And that's why I'm the first one to say, like, when people are like, oh, these coaches are dumb, they're not playing this guy. And I'm like, guys, you have to remember, these coaches see these guys every single day. They watch tape on these guys every single day, because you go out and you practice and you come back in and you watch the whole practice again. Like, so I mean, these coaches know. But at the same time, I will say, Tommy, there are some things when you see evident patterns, like we're kind of acknowledging right now, like offensively, like, to be fair, some people actually are on. I mean, what they're saying is no different than what I've even started to say. So, I mean, I think there's some times where it is a little bit more, okay, these people are a little bit on to something with what they're saying. But you're right, there are a lot of cases where there's a lot of people that just, it's like the stuff we're seeing on Twitter right now. Oh, Tim Keenan dropped in coverage. Kane Womack, he doesn't know how to coach football. And then you sit there and you realize people that know football know exactly the concepts that they're running. And it's really a very common thing that a lot of defenses do. So I hear what you're saying, though. I hear what you're saying, Tommy. It makes sense. But I'll be honest with you. I think right now, though, with the struggles we're having offensively, I hate to say it like this, but I think people kind of have a little bit of a reason to express some concern, given, man, listen, we've got the talent. We've got players. I mean, but our coaching staff needs to find ways to clean it up a little bit more. I think that's fair, right? I don't ever say, like, go call for people's jobs or be personal, but listen, offensively, man, we have not looked great in four or five games in a row, pretty much. And I think that is a very, you know, fair thing for people to have some type of complaint.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I'm concerned about the offense. It seems like we have lost our confidence in education. I mean, having a good drive and getting a touchdown, making a catch. These players are feeling it 100% more than we are because they want to do good. They want to win more than we do. I'm just like, the attitude of some of these callers and fans, like, no, I need to know. You owe me a right. No, you don't. He got a private life. Tennessee, I mean, this is an all sport. And, like, Saturday night, I'm like, oh, my God. We need to write you a blank check. All right. I'm getting tired of hearing that. All right. And these people can call and say that. They don't come out here and spend money during the game. They haven't been seen the ticket owner. I'm going to get in trouble for what I'm going to say, but I'm getting real sick and tired of this bitch in the moment. Some points to the team. This is not class. Coach Stalin and Coach Bryant taught us to show class. And this is not class. When we lose, congratulate the other team. Georgia has a good game plan. Yeah. Georgia was wrong. Georgia was them. You told me 20 years ago that I'm going to be doing it 10 out of 11 times. I'm going to take 6 and 5. So 20 moments, man. All right, that's my car, man. Thank you for listening.
No, you're good, Tommy. Hey, man, I hear it. I mean, because I don't like when people, you know, are too overly critical or, you know, I feel like they're doing too much. So I understand, but I'm going to be honest with you. And this is coming from somebody like me who normally I definitely lean exactly how you're saying. I understand people having questions. What's this word like that? I understand people having questions or concerns or so even some frustrations, right? Just because, listen, we had Nakai Hill-Green on the show yesterday, and he said it great, man. This team, the offense, defense, everybody, especially everybody has an extra gear. And I think the fans sense that. And the fans say, hey, we've got Kalen DeBoer. He's supposed to be, you know, he's known as one of the better offensive coaches in college football. He was responsible for a Washington offense that was, you know, at the top of the statistics when it came to passing offense, had a 1,000-yard rusher. I know the defense is better in the SEC, which we talked about that before he got here, but still, like, why are we dysfunctional to this extent? So I see both sides of it, but I definitely understand where you're coming from. Tommy, we appreciate you, brother.
All right, man. Roll Tide. Take care.
Yes, sir. Roll Tide, Tommy. You too, man. Good deal. All right, we got to hit a timeout. We come back. We keep on rolling right here on the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC.
Flagship home of Alabama sports. The road to the national title starts now.
Strike up the band and light them up.
The Crimson Tide looks to get revenge on the Oklahoma Sooners in the first round of the college football playoffs. Friday, December 19th. First round coverage starts at 4 p.m. on your home for Alabama football.
The Tide Tailgate Show is presented by Pearl River Resort,
DCH Regional Medical Center,
Two Dimes Tuscaloosa,
and Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram.
The Tide Tailgate Show is always on just before the Crimson Tide Sports Network live broadcast on 95.3 The Bear.
Treatment options at up to 95% less than brand names at hims.com/radio. That's hims.com/radio. hims.com/radio.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Welcome back into this Thursday edition of Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Arch Support Experts. I know we got a ton of comments that we're supposed to get to. I don't even know if I can scroll all the way back up. I want to, though, because I know I said I was going to circle back to him when we started talking a little bit more about the offense. Here are a couple of them. We have one from Smitty. He said, offensive coordinators are some of the most stubborn coaches. Many are more about the scheme than doing what's best. I have to agree with them. I think it could go for both offensive and defensive coordinators. But now, I mean, that does happen a number of times with coaches sometimes, man. You have to do what is best relative to your personnel, what makes sense, right, for this game plan, for this group of players, for, you know, whatever the case may be. Sometimes you can't. You have to just take the ego away. And even though there's things that you want to do that you swear work or worked before, it can't always be like that, man. It can't always be like that. I know we had a few more. Man, I'm talking about, there's literally dozens and dozens of comments. So I'm trying to get to some of them. Dahom said, Coach DeBoer reposted his SEC championship press conference when he answered the question from Charlie Potter about Penn State. This was an hour ago. Is that his actual account? Let's pull up his actual account real quick, because I know people make fake accounts and stuff. No, I don't think that was his actual account, Dom. I don't think that was, because I don't think he's posted in over a year or even reposted anything. So that probably wasn't his actual account. I was going to say that would have surprised me if he reposted like a beat reporter. no offense to him. I'm just saying I he doesn't come off like that. Lane, sure, but yeah, I didn't think so. So I think that was a different account. But Tia says, Geno Smith put up 4,000 throwing in Seattle with Grubb. Did not say Geno Smith was the reason Grubb got fired. The head coach was very direct with why he got fired. Which, was that from the head coach that mentioned the running game situation? I don't remember exactly what the head coach said. I mean, I know a lot of fans and a lot of media were talking about the running game issues. I'm assuming the head coach kind of followed suit with that. Does that sound right? Smitty says, the reason Alabama has scored less this season is a result of having no run game. Oh, that's what I was going to ask. Tia, whoever might have this, I always ask Tia because I know she's like AI when it comes to pulling stuff up. Who has the numbers comparing last season's, even if it's just regular season totals, last season's offensive statistics versus this season? And if you want to be specific, we can only just do the regular season, not even include the Georgia game, just to keep it even. But I'm really curious. I know for a fact our points per game is down, but I want to see in terms of like rushing yards, all the other stuff. I think somebody posted, but I don't have it. So if any of you guys have seen that or know where it's at, I want to take a look at that real quick, because I want to see what else we can compare between the two. I get it, different personnel, different quarterbacks, stuff like that, but it's really kind of just scratching my curiosity. So if somebody has that, send it over to me. In the meantime, let's hit a timeout real quick to stay on schedule when we come back. Then we got one more phone call to get to. We'll kind of put our final thoughts on everything. Kalen DeBoer, rumors to being the key target to replace Jerome Moore at Michigan. Offensive woes. What are we going to do? How do we fix them? And then tomorrow we might take a little early preview at Oklahoma as well, since we didn't have enough time to get into it today. You listen to the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTDC. Quick timeout. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Find us on Facebook, Andrew Conifer Agency. Once again, you can reach us at 205-722-9201. Allstate, are you in good hands?
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9149 for your free estimate today. That's 205-393-9149. Asphalt Restoration, where smooth roads start.
Roll Tide.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Hardy Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strongest steel, a specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian.
Christmas shopping begins, and your holiday spirit feels right at home.
Holiday hours Monday through Saturday and Sunday, 1 to 5 at Northport.
Tell them Van the Bootman sent you.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Thursday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Art Sport Experts. Let's take one more question here in the chat, and then we'll hit a phone call and put a bow on everything today. How's that sound? All right. Bama2126 says, do you think the lack of running game is due to the blocking scheme, the coaching, the linemen, or is it a little bit of all of it? A little bit of all of it is the answer. I think it's a number of things. I think our backs have not hit holes well or had great vision this year. I feel like our offensive line has been inconsistent, right? And I've showed you guys that on tape. We've seen that. That's a fact. Not finishing blocks, not climbing to the second level, not getting great combos, not getting enough push. That's all execution. So execution for sure. However, I think another element to me is, I mean, when you see us running, listen, we don't run gap scheme extremely well. We just don't. For whatever reason, we don't. We don't get great push. We don't, get great combo blocks. I mean, it is what it is. And it's surprising because I feel like our offensive linemen are bigger, more physical guys outside of Parker. But we just don't. So I feel like we need to lean in another direction. I mean, we see us, like the pin and pull. That running scheme, that play works well for us, trying to attack the perimeter, getting guys in space. That works pretty well. But I just feel like we need to try some different things, man. I mean, just gap scheme stuff is just not really our bread and butter. Running between the tackles is a struggle for us. So I just feel like you got to find other ways to figure it out. So to answer your question, I think it's a little bit of everything. I think running backs are accountable. I think offensive line executions should be held accountable. And I think, again, some of the coaching and the calls, right, definitely have a role in that as well. So it's a little bit of everything, unfortunately, but hopefully we can find ways to kind of get it as good as we can moving forward. All right, we have to hit one last phone call. We got about 2 minutes. I think Raymond's on the line. Raymond, you with us? Yes, sir, we got you. What's up, Raymond? How are you?
Yeah. Very good show. Alabama offense has got to help a little bit by at least throwing the ball deep down the field to get the defenses to play feet backwards. Right now, the defenses are playing feet forward on Alabama's offense. They're in the backfield even before the ball is snapped. They got to at least throw it, even if they don't complete it, to let them know that they will throw the ball down the field,
Yeah, I agree. Having somebody, we haven't really taken the top off of defense this year. Like, we had some of those, digs and overs, the cover two hole shots, but we hadn't really had a true vertical threat, like, behind the safeties type deep ball like we got accustomed to seeing in years prior. So yeah, that would help keep a defense honest. But I will give you a little pushback, Raymond, only because in terms of pass pro, to be fair, I mean, the pass pro has been better this year. Ty's had a little bit more time to throw than quarterbacks like Milroe and others had in the past. So I mean, I feel like he does face some pressure at times, but there are a lot of other times that he does have relatively clean pockets to work with.
I sit and watch the game, the last two games. Well, I did it all season with a stopwatch. You can't take 5 seconds to get the ball out. You're going to get sacked. But you got to throw at least a few what they call sluggo routes, slash and go deep downfield to let the defense know, hey, we will throw this ball down the field on you. And then they wouldn't be sitting up in the backfield at 2 seconds, but they're playing feet forward defense against Alabama. But you're right. I appreciate you taking my call.
Absolutely, man. No, and great talking point, Raymond. Good to hear from you. Hey, we only had a couple minutes, but, man, I appreciate you calling in, man.
Yeah, good I was deal. Trying to rush to get off so I wouldn't tie the other calls up, but thank you.
Very respectful of you, Raymond, man. That's why we appreciate you, brother, man. Absolutely. You're welcome anytime. Hey, I'll say this before we get out of here. We got these numbers pulled up, and this is what's interesting. You look at the comparisons. This season, we're averaging 31.2 points per game versus 33.8 last season. Total yards is down by about 20 or so yards per game this season. And then rushing yards is down by what? Like 57, I think, yards on average, right? From 173 to 116, something like that. Yards per carry, 4.6 to 3.6. And we know, yes, having Jalen Milroe as your quarterback with his athletic ability, you're going to have a lot more rushing yards. It makes sense. But just kind of interesting to look at that because, again, now you got a quarterback that allegedly fits the system better, better receivers, and better play from your offensive line, and still struggling. So just an interesting conversation. And we've had plenty of those today. Big thanks to everybody, Chase and Reed and you guys behind the glass. Thank you guys so much. Thank you guys for all our listeners on Tide 100.9 via the app on our YouTube stream. It was blowing up today, man. Appreciate all you guys, all our new listeners and everybody that continuously supports us right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Look forward to doing it again tomorrow right here on Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC.